This is all about entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. So I just want to say welcome. And I just kind of want everybody to get an idea that we have a pretty diverse audience today coming to us from all different places. And so I'll just start and say that I am coming to you. I'm finally back in the Columbus, Ohio area. I'm actually in a little city called Canal Winchester, Ohio. And so I am back in Ohio. Just got back in from New York over the weekend. Linda, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming from Washington, PA, which is between Pittsburgh and the Ohio border.
Very nice. And Rita, where are you coming to us from?
I am in Wake Forest, North Carolina, just outside of Raleigh.
I love it. Alicia, how about you?
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Okay. And Debbie? Oh, you're on mute, Debbie.
Come on. There. Pleasantville, Ohio.
Pleasantville, Ohio. Estella?
Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. And Ruth?
Lawrence, Kansas.
Lawrence, Kansas. Christy, do you want to unmute and tell the folks where you're coming to us from? And again, she might be multitasking.
I am multitasking.
Okay, and Alonda, you had mentioned earlier, share with us again where you're coming to us from.
I'm from Austin, Georgia.
Austin, Georgia. And Sherry, I
Oxtail.
don't know. I'm sorry.
Oxtail.
Oh, Oxdale. Okay. And Sherry, I don't know if you can unmute. Can you let the folks know where you are? Sherry and Christy, I think, are multitasking today. All right, we've got Maureen. We're going to see Maureen. If you'd like to come up, you're welcome to. If you decline, we'll definitely let you chat with us. So if you see the button there to come up as panelist, you can connect on that. She declined. Okay, so Maureen, we're going to let you chat with us. You can unmute and tell us where are you coming to us from?
Awesome, thank you. I am in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. Okay. So that's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of us and four in the audience. So welcome everyone. So today we're going to talk about again being an entrepreneur and solopreneur. We started off in January talking about what was our VPS, what was our value proposition statement, what value or what promise are we bringing to our audience? And we had a little formula where we plugged in that just said, I am blank, who does blank for blank? So I am Kathy Benner, and I am a passive income mentor, and I help show folks how to create passive income without having to punch a time clock. So you want to make it that short and simple. And it's called other words we've heard it called an elevator speech. You know, you step on the elevator with somebody and they go, oh, hi, we're at a conference together. What is it you do? You know, well, you don't want this big long thing, you know. The whole point of your VPS is to get folks to lean in and to say, tell me about that. What is it you do? Like, how does that work? So play around with that, and you can change it up in different circumstances. For example, I have several lanes. If I'm with a group of realtors, I might talk about real estate. If I had a background in the salon industry, and if I'm in a group of stylists, I might change it even differently. So you can make it whatever you need it to be, but the more you embody your message, the easier that's going to flow off your tongue. Because you're going to know how to relate to the person that you're speaking to, the person that you're talking with. And so play around with that. But that was the first thing we talked about. Now, the problem is that a lot of folks haven't gone through the course yet of how to build a better business. And so they really don't know what promise they want to bring to their audience yet. And they're like, I don't even know where to start with that. So write something down. Put down a sentence or two on what you think it is that you're bringing to your audience. Then, as you go through this with us this year, go back and tweak it. And you'll get more and more clarity as we go along. So it's not carved in stone. So don't think, you know, don't start printing it out, you know. Now you can put it on a website, anything digital you can put it on, because you can always go back and change that. But don't send it off to Vistaprint and print it on your business cards. Because my guess is that you're going to make it a little more clear as we go along. So once we talked about your VPS, then we talked about your story. The reason that you have the message that you have is because of the experiences that you have experienced. Now, let me say that again. The reason you have the message you have is because of your experiences that you experienced. So your story is the cornerstone of your business. It's why you're doing what you're doing. At the very core of your being, it's why you're doing it. And so make your story a part of your business. So when you get to your About Me page on your website or however you're going to display that, actually put your story there. And it's the reason that we all love to watch these reality shows on television. We want to see how the story ends. You know, we're all about it's the reason we have avid fiction readers and fiction writers because it's all about the story. It's like, oh, then what happened next? So create your story. Now, some of you, and I've run into this before, some of you might say, well, I really don't have that. You know, drastic of a story. I don't have the rags to riches story. You know, my upbringing was just kind of normal. You know, well, then use some of your client stories. And again, think about an attorney or think about a doctor, and maybe they have a product that they or a service that they feel very strongly about because of their clients' or their patients' stories. So don't be afraid to use your clients or patients, depending on what your business is. Don't be afraid to use their stories. Now, of course, we all know you know about the HIPAA laws and all of that sort of thing. However, you don't have to share the stuff that you're not supposed to share. You can just use the high points of the story, okay? So create that story, those storylines. That's going to be so important because, and here is your aha moment in this little segment, is your storytelling is your marketing. Your storytelling is your marketing. And I'm just going to give you one quick example and I'm going to move on. Let's talk about just off the top of my head, I'm going to pull out the weight loss card. That seems to be, you see it all over television. There's all these weight loss. And it's always the before and after. It's the story. It's like, here's where I was, but now here's where I am. And here's the product I used to get there, you know? So it's all about the story. So if they just put the bottle of whatever up on the screen and said, buy this, everybody would go, I wonder if that works. But when you see the story, and you see the before and after pictures, and somebody's telling you the story, or they're like, oh, here's what my life was like then, but now here's what my life is like now. It's all about the story. And then we're like, oh, I want some of that. So just know that your storytelling is your marketing on whatever your product is. So keep that in mind. Then we move on to your serving. Your serving is selling because now you've got your VPS, you know what you kind of want to promise your audience, you've got your story crafted. And so now you don't have an audience. You're like, well, who's gonna hear my story? And who am I gonna tell my VPS to? Because I don't have an audience yet. And so find someone else that has the same audience that you have. That your story and your products would complement. They're not in the exact same business as you, but they have the same audience as you. And then figure out how you can serve them. How can you come alongside them and serve them with no return expected? No return expected, because if you try to calculate that and go, well, if I put in 3 hours serving this person, then I'm hoping to get 10 new clients. Yeah, that's not going to work. You have to take the lid off. You have to take the blinders off. You have to just serve for the sake of serving. You have to just give to that other person. It could be something as simple that they do a monthly meetup and nobody's bringing morning coffee. And maybe you could volunteer and say, I'll bring the morning coffee for your meetup. I'll make that commitment to you. Do you think they'll notice you? Do you think they'll maybe mention you to the group? You think maybe they might say, hey, and let's give some kudos to Debbie. She's bringing our coffee every week. Or let's give some kudos to Rita because, she's setting up our signage every meeting. Just something to serve that person. And all of a sudden, they're going to start highlighting you to their group. Okay. And all of a sudden now that audience that they have is going to know who you are. And again, it doesn't have to be, and I'll give you a perfect example. And there's several on this call that are familiar with this. So I go on to Clubhouse. For those of you that don't know anything about Clubhouse that maybe do or don't, it's just another social media app, kind of different from the ones that we're used to. Anyway, I go on Clubhouse and I run into this gal. And I love her heart. Okay. And so I want to have a business with heart. And so I decided that I wanted to serve her. And I didn't even know what her product was yet. I just knew that I loved her heart and I wanted to have a business with heart. And here, I'm here to tell you that your tribe will find you. And so I knew that the folks that were finding her were also folks with heart. And I wanted my tribe to have heart. So that's why I decided I wanted to serve her. So I just showed up every single time she had a Clubhouse meeting. I showed up. And after a while, she was like, Kathy, and Ruth as well is in our audience today. So Ruth knows who I'm talking about. And Ruth was invited to do this as well. Ruth and I, we were faithfully showing up and showing up and showing up. And then she says, I have to travel. Kathy, do you think you could host my meetup for me? Yeah. And then a couple of months later, Ruth was hosting the meetup for her because she was out for some other reason. So occasionally when she was out, she chose the folks that were there, that were surrounding her with love, showing up, supporting her, serving her. And so then she started handing her group over to us. Since then, Ruth has been a public speaker at one of her events, and so she highlighted Ruth to her entire tribe. I have been a speaker at some of her events, and so she's highlighted me to her entire tribe. And do you think now that her tribe knows who we are? Yeah. And all we did was serve her. And our business is totally different. What I bring to the table is different than what she brings to the table, and what Ruth brings to the table is different than what she brings to the table. But she knew that we also had the heart for our business. She got to know who we are. Since then, I've met her personally several times. She's even driven over from Miami. And so this will give segue as to who she is. She's driven over from Miami several times to meet me in Sarasota. We hang out, we have dinner together. She's invited me to stay at her home. I mean, it's crazy. And all I did is I met this girl on Clubhouse and had never seen her before. And so that's how easy it can work. So when we get to that part, again, you're going to write your VPS, your value proposition statement, then you're going to craft your story. Because guess what? Every time I showed up on Clubhouse, everybody said, well, Kathy, what's your story? Good thing I had that down. Okay. Everybody was like, well, what's your story? How do you know her? And why are you here? What's your story? And so good thing I practiced my story. And then I just served. And so now you're building relationships. And so then, as I started launching, and for those of you that have gone down through the series of the things that we talk about, as I started launching my different products and services, one of the easy ways to, get visibility is to create a podcast. We're going to talk about that way down the line. And one of the easy ways to have a podcast is to interview people. Well, guess where all my interviewees came from that first year? They all came out of her Clubhouse room. Because as I listened, are you ready for this? As I listened to other members' stories, I said, ooh, I want to have her on my podcast. Ooh, I want to have him on my podcast. And so now guess what I'm doing? Not only, and here's your aha moment for this segment. Not only am I borrowing their audience when I interview someone on a podcast, because they're going to go tell their whole tribe. Hey, I'm going to be on this podcast. Listen in. So not only am I going to borrow their audience, they're going to borrow my audience. So now we're borrowing each other's audiences. And guess what happens? The impact just gets larger and larger and larger. I met Rita on the same Clubhouse call. Yes, Rita. And I kid you not, I heard Rita's story. And just, I think a time or two in, I went to the messaging, you know, in Clubhouse, and I'm like, Rita, do you want to help me on a? And so Rita is my co-host on our health and wellness podcast. And Rita came to me out of that same Clubhouse room. And I knew immediately, as soon as I met Rita, that I wanted to partner with her in a health and wellness podcast. Why? Because I saw her heart and I wanted a heart-centered business. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody? So again, you're growing your business organically. And guess what? As you grow it organically, it sticks better. How many times do you see a one-time wonder out there on, let's use Facebook as an example, and you see some ad and it promises you all these things. And so you buy it. And sure enough, it has all the parts and pieces that it claimed to have. It had them, but you didn't build any relationships. You just got the stuff. And so now where is that stuff? You may have implemented a little bit of it, but most of it's probably in a folder, you know, lost in the back of one of your file cabinet drawers, never to be seen again, because you don't go back and revisit it. And you think to yourself, I spent a lot of money taking that course, but you never built any relationships. And so that's why it's all about having your story and serving those other organizations so that you start to build those relationships, if that makes sense. So now we're at a place where we've talked about the VPS, we've talked about our storytelling, we've talked about our serving, but now when people say, okay, I know what it is that you want to bring to the world, I know your story as to why you're here, and I see that you're here serving my organization all the time, but how now can I help you make money? What product are you bringing along? And so now you have to start thinking about, how am I going to put together my products? So what I teach on your products is to have a free offer, kind of like the Jimmy Dean sausage offer. You know, you go into Costco and the lady there hands you, you know, a bite of Jimmy Dean sausage, and you go, oh, this is pretty good. And you walk out with two boxes. Now, you didn't go in to buy Jimmy Dean sausage, but it just kind of hit the spot at the time. And you said, yeah, I think I want to take some of this home with me. So when folks take on your free offer, they're just trying you out. Okay. And here is the problem that a lot of folks have. They try to hold back on that free offer because they're like, well, I don't want to give away the gold. I want to save that for my high ticket item. I just want to dangle a little carrot in front of them. Well, folks realize that you're dangling a carrot. Now, when you buy the Jimmy Dean sausage, it's the same sausage that you're going to pay full price for that you got to taste. So when you're doing something for free, do it full force. Give away the gold. That's what makes folks say, I want to be a part of that tribe. Because if they give away the gold like that in the free offer, oh my goodness, what am I going to get down the road? What kind of relationships am I going to build down the road? And that's what makes people stay with you. Okay, so don't hold back on the free stuff. So just so all of you get a concept of what we're doing, this particular meetup is my free offer. See, everybody gets to check it out and say, what's this Kathy girl all about? What is she talking about? Is this someone that I want to partner with? Is this someone I want to build a relationship with, a business relationship with? Is this someone that I want to refer some of my clients over to? And so that's why you have to have some sort of a free offer. Then we go on to what is your first base, second base, third base, and your home run. So now you're going to start building products and services at different price points. But here's where you have to reverse engineer a little bit. You have to go back and here's, I'm hang in there with me. This will make sense once I get through this. And now I'm going to share what Linda's going to do with us today. But I want you to pick one thing out of your bag of products that makes you the most money. If you already have products and services, pick the one that generates the most income for you. And so let me kind of help you out here a little bit. I was a Mary Kay consultant for years. I had beauty salons for 25 years, and I encouraged all my stylists to do something in addition to styling hair. I said, you've got a captive audience, sell something. So some of the girls decided to do Mary Kay. Some of the girls decided to do Avon. Some of the girls decided to do Pampered Chef. They all picked one of those multi-level marketing. So my question to you in multi-level marketing, since that's something we all are kind of familiar with, is it better off for you to have a client, or is it better off for you to bring on a team member? Anybody? Anybody have an answer for that? A client or a team member? What do you think? Which is the better thing to have?
Team member.
Yes. Thank you, Estella. The reason is because a team member then will continue to have clients, and you're going to get a piece of the pie. Every time they sell something, you're going to get a piece of the pie because they are part of your downline. They're part of your team. Are you with me? And so as you're thinking about what is your biggest money maker, if you were in a multi-level marketing business, your biggest money maker is going to be building a team. So now you want to pick that money maker and make that your third base. And we're going to reverse engineer this, and I'll tell you why. Make that your third base. So if having a team member is your third base, then reverse engineer that. What would be your second base offer? What might make somebody want to become a team member? Well, maybe it's inviting them to one of your team meetups. So now maybe make a second base offer getting somebody at a team meetup. What would make somebody want to come to a team meetup? Well, maybe that's having a customer that a raving customer, raving fan that loves the products. So that could be your first base is creating a client. And then moving that client, see, that's why I'm using the baseball. Moving that client from first base, first of all, you gave them a free sample. We're reverse engineering it all the way back around the bases. You gave them a free sample to just get them to come to the ball game. Okay. Now they're at the ball game and you've made them a first base offer. They're now a client. They've now purchased a product from you. Now, on a second base, you're going to get them to a team member meetup. So you have to have some sort of an offer to get them there. And then finally, at third base, they're going to become a team member. And so then you have to decide if that's my get them to the ball game and my first, second, and third base, what's going to be a home run? A home run is going to be someone that comes to the ball game, they become a client, they go to a team meetup. They become a team member, and now they're building a team. And you've now made a home run out of that one client by building that relationship with them. So that's why you have to start, and I know it seems a little awkward, but you have to start with your third base and decide what is the money maker? What is it that makes me the most money every single day? Because not every one of those money makers are going to make you a home run. Not everyone that bats that gets to third base is going to make it in on a home run. But you know what? More third base players get across the home plate than ones that are out at first. So that's why you're building these offers to get them around the bases because they're more likely to give you a home run if you can get them to third base. So that's going to be your bread and butter. Now, I'm going to give you another analogy. In the salon industry, I did nails. I was a nail tech. And so every time a gal, and for you gals, I know we got a couple of guys on the call, for you gals that ever have or know about acrylic nails, you know that you build a nail right on your nail plate and your nail underneath continues to grow. So every 2 to 3 weeks, you had to go back to the salon and get what was called a balance. And they had to fill in that growth part in the back, or else that nail got a little teeter-totter. It started to come up in the back and it started to come off. And if you didn't get a balance, your acrylic nails would ultimately grow off. They would fall off. And so you had to continually get a balance. And so once you got a gal in your chair as a nail tech that was getting balances every 2 to 3 weeks, that was your bread and butter. Why? Because she had to come back every 2 and 3 weeks. And some of my clients were with me the entire 25 years that I was in business. As a matter of fact, a couple of them are still mad at me that I retired because they had to go somewhere else to get their balances or their nails would fall off. And so, you know, they were hoping that they could just come to my house even now and I would still do their balance. So anyway, the point of that story is I never gave away balances because that was my bread and butter. So what could I get somebody to come into the salon? How about a free tanning session? That got them to walk in the door. Then maybe my first base offer would have been, would you like to have a manicure? It's only, I don't know, 12 bucks, 15 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever. Yeah, I'll do that. And then I would dangle that carrot again. I would say, hey, have you ever had acrylic nails? Well, no. Would you like a free full set? And everybody was like, Kathy, why are you giving away free full sets? That's the most product you're using. It's the most time you're spending to put a full set on someone. And I said, because she has to come back every 2 to 3 weeks for years if she loves that full set. So do you think I did a crappy full set or do you think I did a really great full set on that gal? I wanted her to love those nails so that she said, oh, I'm keeping these. I'm going back every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. I'm getting my balance. And that's how I built my salon business, was giving away tanning and free sets of acrylic nails. Okay, so think about in your product box of what you have that is your bread and butter. Don't give that away. Even if you feel like you're giving away a bigger ticket, you're giving away something that will cause them to buy the bread and butter and stay in there. Now, in my business today, I'll be totally transparent. I have a membership site. And in your membership site, you get the entire academy. That is my bread and butter. Because the membership site is just a flat $25 a month and it just goes on as long as you want to be a member of the academy. So that is my bread and butter. And so now I do these free meetups so that you get to meet me and know what it is that I'm all about. And then you can either buy a course if you want just one course, because it's, you know, it's a one-time cost that you're going to spend. It's not going to be that $25 a month forever. It's just going to be a one-time fee and you get the course. But then you might say, oh, I really liked her at the free meetup. I really enjoyed the course. I want to join the membership site. That's my bread and butter. And then someone might say, you know what? I love the free meetups. I love the course. I love having the membership site where I can tap into all the courses and all the replays and get all of that stuff. But I want some one-on-one coaching with Kathy because I want to move along a little faster. And that becomes my home run. Not everyone that comes to this free meetup is going to buy a course. Not everyone that comes to this free meetup is going to join the membership site. Not everyone that comes to this free meetup is going to get private coaching with me. There's a jumping off point all along the way. And there's going to be the same with your products and services. There's going to be a jumping off point all along the way. But you're going to have a core, because again, if I had 20 people jump on a call and all 20 wanted private coaching with me, I wouldn't have enough room on my calendar for that. You see where I'm going with that? So you really, you know, if you say, oh, in a perfect world, I'd have 100 new coaching clients. You couldn't handle 100 new coaching clients. See, so you want to give them that individual attention, but you don't want to leave the other folks out of not getting the information that maybe will help them take their next best step in whatever your products are. And so that's why you have this series. Does that make sense to everybody? So you got to think about what is your bread and butter? What is that third base offer? And then reverse engineer back to what then would be your second, what would be your first, what would be your free offer? And then go the other way and say, oh, what would be that home run? And then don't forget to celebrate. You know, at the end of the ball game, everybody gets to go out for pizza. Okay, we have tribe trips. That's how we celebrate. Okay. And so, and again, they're all on my website. You can check it all out. But I just wanted you to see kind of how it worked. So, with that, I want to just show you my screen. I'm going to share my screen. I want to make sure I don't have anybody that jumped in that I didn't already have in the call. Okay, we got everybody there. I'm going to share my screen just long enough before we turn it over to Linda. Here we go. This is the home page so that you can see where to find everything. Here is the membership site right here. But if you come over here, here's the health and wellness. This is where I share the health and wellness here with Rita. And so you can see all of our free, here's the course. Here's from 21 to 23, all the free meetups. And so you can see where you can get all of that here in the website. And when you click down, here's the entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. This is where we are today. And right here is the 2024. This is what we're doing right now, the free meetup. I will put the replay right here. And you can sign up for free. You have to sign up for a Teachable account, but you don't have to pay anything. And you can get into all of these free meetups. Then there is the course. And then we go back through the masterminds and on back from 20 to 23. And here's 21 to 23. These are all of our replays over the years if you wanted to check all that out. But you can find all of that right here on the website. So when I go to the course, just want to show you, and you scroll down, this is where you find all of this information. Adding more heart to your business. Here's where you create your wordsmith, your value proposition statement. There's a formula how to do that. This is where we talk about your storytelling is your marketing and your serving is your selling. And so I'm going to review this just on the high topic, so you see what we're talking about. The key is clarity. You won't get clarity until you go through this. Action comes first, clarity comes second. So just start working through what you want your products and services to be. But how to build a better business on your website. First of all, you have a character, and many of us have known that the character is our avatar. It's your customer. Who is your customer? And I will say this. Oftentimes, your customer is an earlier version of you because that's your story. That's why you're doing what you're doing, is because you're trying to help folks through maybe a situation that you struggled through yourself, which is why you realize there's a need there. And so once you create who your audience is, who that character is, and you realize that that audience or that character has a problem, then that audience or character meets a guide. You're the guide. And you're going to give them a plan that calls them to action, to helps them avoid failure, that ends in their success. And this is what your business is all about. It is how to take and solve your audience's problem. You're the guide. They're the hero, not you. Okay. And so then we move into how to create your free opt-in offer. That Jimmy Dean sausage offer. And so think about what is your genius that you can give away? How can you answer the public call? What is it they're asking for? You can do an Amazon book search to see what are people looking up. And you can look at YouTube video categories. What are people searching for? This is going to help you decide what you want to do as your free offer. And then we won't get down into the weeds in this, but then you have a first base, your second base, your killer third base, this is your bread and butter, and finally your home run package. Now, once you get to this place, then we segue over. Now, how do we market all of this? How do we send people back to this? And so we talk about how do you create your website and your sales funnel? And then you could blog to get people to see what you're talking about. You could podcast so that people see what you're talking about. You could become a public speaker, even if you hate public speaking. You can talk about anything for 20 minutes. And oftentimes, you just need 20 minutes, like a chamber luncheon, for example. If you've got a product that, you know, a ton of folks would need, you could actually offer and volunteer to do a little 20-minute speech. I'll call it a speech, at a chamber luncheon, as an example. So there's all kinds of ways that you can market your services once you know what those services are. Now, you're not going to come up with all of that in one fell swoop unless you've been at this for a while, because again, action comes first, clarity comes second. So you're going to get out a pad and paper and pen, and you're going to start maybe jotting down some ideas and how you're going to take your clients around the bases. Okay. And then once you know how to take them around the bases, then it's like, now how are we going to get the public at large to know that we're here? And that's where the blogging, the podcasting, the speaking comes in, because now you're pointing back, but you've already created some of these products and services, and they're not carved in stone. You're going to continue to tweak them. So one of the things that we can do to create a product is that we could have a five session something. And you see these all the time online. It can be a five session mastermind. It could be a masterclass. It could be just something. Now, you can make that your freebie so that folks get to know, like, and trust you and go, "Oh, I do want to know more." You could make that your first base offer at a very entry level price. You could make it your second base offer at a little bit higher price. You could even make that your third base offer. It could be your bread and butter. It could be, "I'm doing a five session mastermind, and I'm only doing it by application only. I'm only letting 10 people in. The ticket is a little bit higher, and this is going to be how I generate my income." So you could make it any one of those bases as you want to make it, and that's the joy of putting your products and services together. But the first thing you have to decide is, who is that character? Who is that avatar? Who is that audience? Because you have to enter the conversation in their heads, not make them enter the conversation in yours. And so you have to meet them where they are. And so that's why you've got to do a little bit of thinking and a little bit of research and say, what would attract them and what would they purchase? Now, I will give you a little hindsight here. Oftentimes, we won't sell anything any more than what we would buy ourselves. So if you're stuck charging more, go out and buy a package. Go out and pay someone else. And then you'll be willing to charge. And here's my example. So I would hire a brand new nail tech in my salon, and she would say, "Oh, well, I can't charge that because I'm brand new." And I say, "Well, do you do a pretty good set of nails?" "Well, I do a great set of nails." And I go, "Well, then how come you can't charge?" "Well, because I'm brand new, and I just don't have the confidence. I don't feel like I can charge that." And I'd say, "Well, do you wear nails?" "Well, yeah, I'm wearing nails." And I'd say, "Okay, I want you to go down the street. I want you to pick a salon that you've never been in before. I want you to go in, and I want you to get a balance, and I want you to pay, and I want you to tip the nail tech really well. And then come back." And they would go, "Okay." So off they would go. They would come back in the next morning. I would say, "Did you get your nails done?" "Yeah, I did." "Did you pay full price?" "Yeah, I did." "Do you love them?" "Well, I can do better." I said, "Then why aren't you charging full price for yours? If your nails are as good as those nails, why are you not charging?" "Well, maybe I can charge after all. Maybe my nails aren't that good." So sometimes you just have to build the confidence that your product is pretty good. So go ahead and if you want to do a five session masterclass, join a five session masterclass. Check it out. And again, I'm not saying go in and pick it apart and go, "Oh, well, I would have done that instead of that," or right here. I'm saying go in with an open mind and say, "Could I do this? Could my five session mastermind bring the kind of change that my audience is looking for, the way the mastermind I'm in is bringing the change in my life? Can I steer that and do that for someone else?" And if the answer is yes, it will give you the confidence that you can do this thing, that you can go ahead and charge and put your products out there. Does that make sense for everybody? So don't get analysis paralysis, where you're just constantly going, "Oh, if I could just tweak this a little better, if I could do that a little better, then I would be ready to launch." Go ahead and launch something. And you know what? It's always messy at the beginning. It's okay. And so that's why I encourage all of you, whatever it is that you want to maybe even move into your big ticket item, go ahead and make it your freebie and invite all of us. You know, we'll encourage you and we'll help you and we'll let you know how it's working for you. Does that make sense? Yeah, but you have to get started. And that, if you take away anything today, it's just get started. And so with that said, Linda has put together a five session. And Linda, am I correct? We are on session four. Okay, session number four. And I'm going to let Linda start. And because we've got some new folks on the call today, I'm going to let Linda give you just a brief background about herself as to why she's bringing this message. This is her message. This is not my message. This is her message. And she is practicing on us. And she's done a couple of these already for a fee, but she's volunteered to practice this on us so we can see how it's done. And she's going to give us a little bit of her backstory and then bring us up to speed and kind of show us, you know, pull the curtain back a little bit and kind of show us what went into her putting this together so that we as creators can actually see how she did this. So, Linda, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you so much. So my name is Linda Thomas, and I am the founder of the Legacy of Love Project. That ended up resulting from my own life experience. I have lots of years in brick and mortar business, so I've done all the things from speaking with customers face to face, inventory management, like you name it. And that built a lot of very good computer skills for me and personal relationship skills and training skills. In business, I ended up where my husband and I were running a, of all things, high performance engine building machine shop. That's a whole nother story there, but he had diabetes and became progressively more ill with more and more physical issues. And as we were trying to run our business, anyone here who is an entrepreneur knows that can take all the hours just doing that. Then you add a physical illness and it becomes really, really challenging. So we were able to get a few things in place as far as the will and those kinds of documents, but by no means did we have everything in place the way it that you would want it to be to make end of life easier. So we basically padlocked our business, and I became around-the-clock caregiver. And then there was no time to do any other planning, nothing proactive. It was just purely reactive. So he did pass away, and then I had kind of a recovery and mop-up all in one for a while. And so I worked for other companies for a while, didn't care for that, and began speaking and coaching and building my business that way. For one particular client, things that were going on in her world really tied in with what I had experienced. She was older, just under 80 years old. Had let go of her virtual assistant. All of her digital affairs were in shambles. And I could see that with the health issues that she had, that when she passed away, which wouldn't be a long time in the future, I knew that a lot of her intellectual property and her life's work would be completely lost. And I was, I think, more aware of it than she was, but I could see that we had a real ticking time bomb going on. And it was a race against time to try to collect and secure her digital assets. before her health would completely give way. So as I kind of dovetailed my experience with what I was encountering with her, I just saw so many vitally important things that people needed to have in place, particularly people who were content creators, leaders, authors, any kind of content creation. Those people were especially vulnerable as I was looking at all of this. And I just started writing down all the things people needed to be on top of, to know, and so many things that could bite them that people have no idea about. So that has led to a 5-day challenge. It has led to workshops, and then I do have a longer form full course where I walk with people hand in hand to collect their information in a way that is not overwhelming and not scary, and there's so much support. So instead of being overwhelmed and never starting, you can do it step by step. So that's kind of the genesis of all the things that I'm into.
So Linda, how did you how long did it take you to get this kind of clarity that this is what you wanted to do? Now I know you were in the clouds, you know, right after your husband passed, and like you said, you had a lot of things to work through and a lot of mop up to do in the business. I get all of that. But when you finally said, I want to make this into a business where I can put together these products and services, from that point, how long did it take for you to get some clarity as to what you wanted your products and services to be?
Okay, restate that last question. From which point?
From when you decided that I want to turn this into a business, I want to turn this into a coaching, teaching, online platform business where I can help folks, to where you got clarity with what those products were that you wanted to offer. How long did it take you to go through that stage of the creation of your business?
It is a process, and you alluded to that in the beginning, like don't get it on a Vistaprint card immediately, because you really are, you're testing, you're refining, you're iterating and reiterating, and it just starts getting more clear. And you also, Kathy, have said start to take action and the clarity will follow. So I was coaching, I was speaking, I was working with a coach, so there's the what you're willing to spend money on and invest in will color what you're willing to put yourself out there to feel that you can charge for as well. And so I began working on ideas for coaching, and then as I was coaching, working with that one client in particular crystallized so many things, and I began putting together all the things. And then it takes a while to get your courage to actually put it out there, because you're like, well, who am I, you know? And then you start basically workshopping your ideas. And I'll throw this out there for consideration. If anyone here knows who Tim Ferriss is, he's one of the world's most leading podcasters and the author of The 4-Hour Workweek. And I heard him recently say on a podcast that he workshopped the ideas that were in the 4-Hour Workweek for 6 or 7 years in lectures. So there's nothing wrong with continuing to share your ideas, put them out there, you know, tease them out, tweak them, and all of that. And don't be overly harsh on yourself if it hasn't turned into a book or like the world's leading course in 6 months. So yeah, it is a process, but it does get more and more clear as you go.
Absolutely. So go ahead and lead us through your session four on your product.
Okay.
Anyone have any questions for Linda? I do want to highlight this. Did you see how when she started sharing her story, we all leaned in more? because it told us a couple of things. Number one, it told us she gets it because she really lives it. And so it gave us the confidence that she knew what she was talking about. Okay. Her story, because she has gone through it, makes us more comfortable buying her products. Instead of her just saying, I've got this product, I'm going to show you how to do this, here's where you sign up. We'd all say, does she really know her stuff? But because she shared her story, we realize she does. So that's why your story is so important. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you. Yeah, and I've lived it on the content of the course side, and I've lived it on the telling you a few things about creating a course and putting yourself out there too. So, and I've heard it said, I don't know how accurate this is, that in the court of law, an expert witness only has to know reasonably more than the other people in the courtroom. So I'm a couple steps ahead of some of you, and maybe a little behind some of you, but we're all in this together, and we're all seeking to make a difference in the world with the things that we were put here to do and to share. So for those of you who may or may not have been here for the previous sessions that I've done, the first it was day one of my challenge. We did that in January, and we talked about why all of this matters. And wow, what an amazing discussion everyone shared with life stories and their perspectives. Day two was the first part of my framework. My framework is preserve, design, and bestow. So day two in February, we talked about preserve, gathering a lot of your really key documents. And that did include a discussion of digital assets, which for anyone who watched it or wants to go back and watch the replay, that is a real eye-opening topic. And Kathy can vouch for that. It'll leave kind of your hair standing on end when you realize how exposed you are with all of the hard work that you've done, that it could just go poof. If anything happens to you. And last month, we talked about design, which is designing your plan for your funeral, your memorial. What is it that you want to happen and how? And leaving your wishes and instructions in a way that they can be followed. But also, it's designing a plan that enables your surviving loved ones to live as smoothly as possible in the new normal with you not there. And it is so freeing and empowering for you and for your loved ones if you take these steps, because everyone's shoulders can come down from around their ears and people can start to realize it's gonna be okay. I mean, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. So let's all be real. We won't be here forever. But we can make things to go as beautifully and smoothly as possible by taking some time now, while we're of a sound mind, to think these things through. Because let's not assume that we'll all maintain mental clarity right up until the day we pass. A lot of people don't have that luxury, and if they didn't put their plans in place, it becomes a true nightmare for their family. And I have many people that I've spoken to that have shared some really heartrending stories. So today is the bestow portion of the preserve, design, and bestow. And that's where we talk about giving. And I did want to open with a quote that will tie into a little bit as we go a little bit deeper into this. Margaret Atwood said, "In the end, we'll all become stories." So we want to keep in mind that who we are, who we were, it's up to us if we want people to know what we were about and remember us and maybe leave a continuing mark on the world. So, on the topic of giving, The way I look at it is there's three different kinds of categories of giving that we can do. The first is giving while we're still alive. The second is giving through our will, through an attorney after we've passed. And the third type is giving that occurs after we're gone. And it could occur like immediately after we're gone or kind of ongoing. And all these types of giving are special. But it's really wonderful if you do some out of all three categories because there are really wonderful blessings that come from that. I'm going to take another sip. Does anyone have a question or a comment while I sip?
No, I just want to go back and kind of do a little reminder. My own mother was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and we didn't know. She didn't know how things were going to unfold. And so, like you, we were scurrying to try to get her affairs in order because we didn't know if this was going to come over her quickly or not. And at 92, she made the decision not to do any treatments or any surgeries. And so at that point, we had no idea what to expect. So we were, as a matter of, my daughter wanted to get married in a couple of years. She moved her whole wedding up by 2 years. That put a huge financial burden on me being a single mom. So now I'm planning a wedding and I'm taking care of a mother with a brain. So you get it. And yeah, so it life comes at you fast. And at 92, one would have thought that we would have done this at 72 or 82. No, we waited until 92.
Preach it. My friend, her great grandmother died at 106. They didn't have a dang thing prepared. And as you said, at what point might it have occurred to anybody that great grandma is getting older and this day may come? They were picking pallbearers out of the crowd at the funeral. I mean, and they asked my friend, like off the cuff, would you mind singing something? Like right there at the funeral. 106. It just leaves you kind of speechless. So anyway, with the idea of giving, if you giving gifts while you're still here, you can make it a really beautiful experience. For example, let's say you had a lovely set of dishes. Or a particular vase that your niece always admired, or whatever. You could, and especially if these are things that you don't currently need, like let's say you're 80 and you're not using some of these things on a daily basis anymore. Have a wonderful afternoon get together with the person and give them this thing that you know that they've admired. And you know that they'll remember you fondly every time they use it or look at it. And you can have, a luncheon together or tea or whatever. And you can tell them some stories about the thing, how you came by it. Was it given to you? Did you find it in a wonderful antique store when you were traveling? Whatever the story might be. And if there's like care instructions. You can help them understand the best way to care for this item. But what's so wonderful is you've got this lovely personal experience, and instead of receiving it in a box from an attorney in the mail, compare the feeling of those two ways of giving something. And I encourage you to do some of that kind of giving when the time is appropriate in your life. And you can, of course, give gifts through your attorney. And that is a valid way. And there are some things that you will be using right up until you no longer are here to need them. And that is a time-proven way of getting things to people. So make sure to set your instructions down, be very clear. And have it as kind of an addendum to your will. I want my son to have this, my daughter to have this, et cetera, et cetera. And be sure to have your will secured so that I have personal knowledge of families where people destroyed the will or raided the home during the funeral to cherry pick the items that they wanted. And some of us here have also heard stories like that. So have your will be secured, have copies of it, and have your specific wishes in writing. In the preserve section, we do spend a bunch of time talking about the will and some specific things that you need to include for clarity and for protection, and to make sure that your wishes are implemented. And then the third way of giving is after your passing. And there are some really heartwarming and memorable ways that you can do that. You can collect a lot of your stories either on audio recordings, on video, in a like a blog. You can have an email account where you just capture ideas and share stories in that, and you'll give your loved ones access to that email as part of your will. They'll find out the password and all of that. Or you could share it with them just before your passing. There are many wonderful ways of getting your stories written down. There are books that you can r write the stories into. There are email services that will send you an email prompt like every week. And at the end of a year, all your stories will be gathered into a book. So forgive me one second, I just need a sip. Okay, so your stories, there are people that you've known your whole life and you do not know their stories. And so when we can take the time to capture these stories for those who live with us or follow after us, this is what's going to have you be more than just a dusty picture on the wall. You're going to be a real person, all fleshed out and real to them. Other things that you can pass on after your passing are things like experiences. Just to throw out ideas like you could purchase concert tickets or a hot air balloon ride or a trip that you would pay for and have that message delivered to them after your passing. I've heard of people, for instance, a husband who passed who had flowers delivered to his wife every week for a year. So just ways of continuing to show your love, even though you're not here anymore. You could even give a puppy or a kitten if you know that the person has who remains has a passion for that, and it would bless them to have the companionship. You could, select from a litter just before your passing, and when it's time for that young one to be weaned and okay to be separated from its mother, it could be delivered to your loved one. Once again, only if it's a blessing to them and not a burden, that would needs to be something that they would be up for. Another thing that you could do before your passing is to share, for example, prized family recipes. So you could have everyone in the family come or one-on-one and show them how you make your special strudel or your cookies or that amazing roast that you do or whatever it is. Ethnic recipes that are prized in your family. Make sure everyone knows how to make them. It's different when you show them versus leaving a recipe card to them. So once again, all these experiences and these ways of cherishing one another and being together. I hope some of these ideas are landing that might resonate with you. Another a wonderful thing to leave is your ethical will, to actually write down the things that matter to you, the things that you stand for. Like, let's say your name is Jones. This is what we Joneses believe. This is what Joneses are about. This is how we operate in the world. And this is a way for people to know not just what really mattered to you, but to see how you would wish for them to carry on in the world. And then for generations that are not even born yet, for them to know, you know, great grandma was a pistol, you know, she was something else. Or great grandpa, oh my goodness, the stories we heard about him, you know. So I'm going to just kind of leave those ideas with you. And I wanted to also give you a quote from Karen Lopez McWilliams. She said, "When I give the best of me, that becomes my legacy." And so I encourage all of you to capture the best of you now, to leave that as a legacy for those you care about. Thank you.
Wow. Linda, thank you so much for that. So now, all of us on this call, we have a lot of work to do, don't we? So not only are we working on our own products and services, but now we've got to kind of tidy up some of the stuff that we're going to leave behind. Yes. And how are we going to give? I love all of those ideas. Some of those I had never thought of. So I love that.
I have wow. even more in the course. I mean, we really go into it.
Yeah. So you can see where, and back to building a better business, you can see where once Linda puts this together, she can make this a free offer and still bring tons of value. She can make it her first base, her second base. She can even make this her, you know, her third base offer, her bread and butter, and just do this, this class or seminar or mastermind, however she wants to present it. And she can just do it, you know, maybe four times a year, or depending on her price point, she may only need to do it 2 to 4 times a year to make the income she needs to make. So it just really depends where she wants to put that in her toolbox of offers for her business. But it's a great start. The information is invaluable. And so now we've got one more session. So next month she'll do her fifth session. And is it just an overview, Linda? Is it just kind of a wrap up on everything?
Well, there's additional value because I do bring a lot of food for thought.
Okay. Okay.
It's not just a recap.
Okay. And what I do want to invite her to do, and I want all of you to understand the whole purpose of this, I want her to also bring her call to action and offer whatever it is that comes next. Okay. And I want all of us on this call to know that she's going to do that. Now, don't feel obligated that you have to buy in, but if it speaks to you, by all means, you can. But I want you to see how she also creates her call to action to upsell this particular five session to take you to the next level with her, because that's what we're all going to learn here is as we put together our products and services, how then do we segue into bringing our audience to the next level? How do we make that offer? And what does that call to action look like? So just expect that next week. Again, I don't want anybody to feel like we're expecting you to sign up, but by all means, if it does speak to you and you do want to sign up, by all means do so. So anyway, that's what I want to say. I want to go around and I want to ask everyone before we go today, if you could come up with, go all the way back, reverse engineer all the way back around the bases, clear back to your free offer. What would be your Jimmy Dean sausage offer? What would be something that takes no thought on your audience part to go, yeah, I think I'll check that out. You know, I'm not going to have any skin in the game. I can say no, it's not a big deal, but I want to check it out. What could be your free offer? And Linda, what is the thing that you like to put out there just for people to know who you are and that you even have this program?
I have put out several different technical term is lead magnets, free PDFs, little freebies. The one that I've offered even just this past week is a family conversation starter with some great questions that people can ask, especially their elders, because we know our time with them is limited, and some great open-ended questions to break out of the aches and pains and the what's happening on the world stage kind of dull conversations that you definitely want to leave behind. So getting the elders started is so fun.
I love that. Now, for me, I'm using Linktree as my business card, and I love it because it's so easy to manage, and you can just click and move the links up and down. So if you're promoting a particular thing on a particular month, you can scoot that link to the top. Anyway, I just love Linktree as my electronic business card, so I don't get business cards printed any longer. I use that. And one of the things on my Linktree is a free strategy call. So a lot of times folks will connect with me and I tell them that I help them create passive income without having to punch a time clock. And they, of course, that makes them lean in and go, oh, I need to know more about that. And I go, oh, schedule a strategy call with me and we can chat about it. And so once I chat with them, and I've got it connected to Calendly, for those of you that maybe do or don't know about Calendly, it is a online calendar scheduling app, and it automatically dumps them right into your Google Calendar. So I have a Google Calendar, then I have Calendly, and I'm using the free version. And then my Linktree is my business card. And when they tap on the link to schedule a strategy call, it takes them to Calendly. They get to choose what works best for them. And then Calendly dumps that right into my Google Calendar and notifies me that I have a strategy call coming up. So that's works for me for my Jimmy Dean sausage. Anyone else want to share what they're doing as their freebie?
I will.
Yes, Rita.
Well, first I want to say thank you, Linda. That was great. And I definitely would like to hear more about what you're doing. I know the last time you had something and I wanted to get on, but I couldn't make it. So I'm not sure whatever the starter thing is, that five session, whatever session thing you called it, or the free PDF. I would love to take a look at that stuff if you want to send those to me. I do have I do a free webinar, which is about an hour long, all about diabetes and how to reverse it and what causes it and all that kind of stuff, because I'm a diabetes reversal coach. And I do have a free strategy call on my website. My big ticket is my coaching program, which is usually about 6 months, so especially for diabetes reversal. And that's all that I have. So I don't know if I
Okay.
need to be adding something else. Lately, I've been thinking about, because I have a lot of people, my biggest audience really comes from my church community, but a lot of them can't afford my big ticket offer. So I've been thinking lately, what's something that I can do? Because even though I work virtually with all my clients, a lot of people are in my local community. So I was thinking about maybe I should just do like a grocery store tour. That's a small ticket item. Just get a group together. I don't know, no more than maybe 10 people, moving around a grocery store. But I'd love to hear your feedback about the number of people and the pricing on something like that, because it's something small that people can afford. They get one-on-one time with me for 2 hours. They can ask me whatever they want to know about their grocery shop. I could even give them a grocery shopping list. But yeah, I would love to hear your feedback on that if we have time.
Yes, Rita, I love that idea. Debbie and Estella, do you remember when we did that a couple of years ago and we went to Whole Foods and we did that and on how to shop better and how to
Like
choose
I've
and
done it for free through my church as a ministry event, but now I would love to be able to,
Yes.
charge for it too.
Yep, I love that idea. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's so important. Oh gosh, I'm surprised. And of course, Rita, you'll get this. I'm surprised that we're as healthy as we are with our food source the way it is. I am just shocked. When you finally dig down as to what makes us more healthy, I am just so surprised. But it does take a little bit of effort to shop better. And sometimes we don't know what we don't know. So yeah, I think that's a great idea, Rita.
What about pricing and the number of people?
I think
The limit.
when Debbie and Estelle and I did, I think we had what, maybe six of us, five or six of us, and it depends on how busy the store, the grocery stores that you're going to. I think if you have a very big group, it's hard for them to maybe hear, and they're trying to get out of a shopper's way, you know. So probably a smaller group would be easier,
Less
depending on
than
how
10,
busy.
you mean?
Yeah, depending on how
Maybe.
busy the store is that you go
Yeah,
to.
I would definitely pick a time when it's not as busy, like early in the morning or something like that. But what about pricing on that? What do you guys think is reasonable if you were going to do a grocery store tour? What would you be willing to pay?
Well, again, my audience, I'm all about meeting my audience where they are. And so for me, I would put like a $20 price point on that per person. And that way, you know, with five people, you know, you've got $100, and if it's a couple hours, that's $50 an hour for you to do that. So that really wouldn't be a bad return in
And
my.
when you do that, if you're going to charge $20 and you're cost conscious about the people who are going to attend, find something that you can give them along with the $20 so they feel like they, got something, whether it's a guide or, some kind of food or something like that, just to make it even more enhancing for them.
Okay,
Yeah,
thank you.
I like the shopping bag idea because oftentimes when you're talking about eating healthy, and only in America have we decided that we need to do this marathon shopping for the month. And so we end up buying a lot of packaged and prepackaged foods to last us for a month. In a lot of other countries, they shop every couple of days and they're shopping fresh fruits and vegetables and they're just getting their fresh fruits and vegetables every couple of days. So I like the idea of maybe giving them a shopping bag and encouraging them to shop for fresh stuff more often. And a shopping bag that they can keep. Maybe even
Great.
get your logo on it.
I was going to
Absolutely.
say that.
Yeah, I have a friend who makes t-shirts, so I could even buy the bags and have her put my logo on it instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great
So that's an
idea.
idea.
Yeah. Alicia, you have your hand up.
I was just going to say that you could do that virtually too. Like the
That's
way
true.
that people, order their groceries now on Kroger or wherever they shop. It might be a good idea to offer it virtually as well.
So just me in the grocery store doing the tour while they're on Zoom watching me?
You can like share your screen, go to the Kroger shopping or whatever it is.
Oh,
You know what I'm saying? Like
gotcha. Like an Instacart
show
kind of
them Instacart. That's
checklist.
what it's called. Yes.
Okay.
Something like that. Or yes, go to the store and do it virtually like that too. Like that's another great idea, really. Like you could do it all three ways, and offer people, because people, they may want to come into the store. They may want to shop Instacart, but then they may want to see you actually in the store and choosing, certain items and things like that. So the more you can offer, the better. Hey.
Yeah.
Gosh, now the wheels are turning. I've got all kinds of ideas running around in my head. I like this.
And Linda's hand was up, and then
Yes, Linda. You're on mute, Linda.
And I was trying to lower my hand. That didn't take either. Try that again. There we go. Yeah, so I love what Alicia was saying, and I think maybe a hybrid of both would be great, because so many people are shopping online, but I feel like the immediacy and the realness of you in the supermarket, maybe have someone go with you to hold the camera or the phone, or you just be doing this, you know, with your phone. And have some kind of you know, an earbud with a mic so that you're not fighting that part. But I feel like the immediacy of you in the fruit section, like picking things up, or in the other areas of the store, picking up a package and turning that info and saying, "Holy cow, do you see how much sodium is in this thing? Don't buy this," kind of thing. You know what I mean? I feel like it would be so real and so instructive versus strictly on a screen. saying, oh, and then I select this in the Kroger app. I feel like it doesn't pull them in as much.
I'm much more of an in-person kind of girl. I like people. I'm heart-centered. I like to mm-hmm. see them, feel their heart, feel what they're going through, what they're, and be able to answer their questions in real time. And then also just see what's there, because that's how I shop. Like I look mm-hmm. at, I don't buy the same products every single time because it depends on how they look and, you know, mm-hmm. what their prices are. So, but yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Right. Someone else, I think Debbie had her hand up too. Yeah.
I was just going to say, like on, like if you're in the fruit and vegetable section, I don't know how in depth you go with those calls, but if you show them how to select something at the best point of ripeness, you know, that's valuable because a lot of people don't know that either.
Thank you. Debbie had her hand up.
Debbie, yes, Debbie.
Rita.
Yes, ma'am.
Going back along with what Alicia said, if you did a, what do they call it, FaceTime, or you can do Zoom, you can gain a larger audience from anywhere. And by doing so, then you can turn the product over and show us the label and point out to us what you look for in a product and what not to look for in a product. And and I'm going to say this, that walking through a produce department and showing us what to look for in certain produce, like broccoli and carrots and Brussels sprouts, any of those things, and especially green beans that they're now doing fresh and putting in a bag for you, even though I wonder what kind of preservatives are on the green beans to keep them long in the bag. But I know for me, I think that would be well worth my time on a Zoom call with you going through a grocery store instead of me having, I'm out in the country and, you know, driving 2 hours to go shopping, and I personally would like to advance to doing Instacart or whatever you call, going and picking up my groceries, and they've already done it for me, because to me, that keeps me from buying the things that I shouldn't be buying. and also, Rita, I think another good thing would be to show us ways. I know what I do to preserve my vegetables when I have them in the refrigerator, how I keep them lasting longer, and the containers I use. And for some people that can't go out every 2 days to go shopping, mm-hmm. but say have to go once a week or say every 2 weeks, that's to the extent that I can usually have fresh vegetables in my fridge is up to 2 weeks. I can keep them fresh. And,
Yeah, that's a good help idea. With this. A lot of people do end up wasting produce, so that's a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas there. I love this conversation. Debbie, how about you? Do you have a free offer that you put out there to get folks interested in what you're doing?
Well, I finished my article for the magazine this morning.
Okay, and we do have a magazine. Articles are due on the 6th, April 6th.
And it really got me to thinking ahead. And then listening to this today, I have things that I wrote down that I can offer. I don't know what order. I'm not to that point yet. But one thing I did was I can offer a 30-minute call to someone that would like to talk about some of my products, and what they can do for them, the benefits. The other thing is I can redo my 6-month shopping list that will help people think, oh, I can't do that. But this way, this could help them. And then the other thing was, in line with what Rita was talking about with shopping online, I can do the same thing in a Zoom call. I can take them through my process of shopping through my account and show them the different things and how easy it is to do that. And so, like I said, there's three things that I've just written down and are so it's spinning in my head.
For those of you that don't know, Debbie is affiliated with a company that does a lot of holistic products. And she's talking about a way that she can showcase those on a Zoom call so that folks can see why those products are better than maybe just going out to the store and buying a bunch of chemical induced products instead. And Debbie, share just some of your top products so folks know what it is we're talking about. What is some of your big sellers?
Honestly, I love the laundry products.
Okay.
The vitamin, I'm going to say probably our peak performance vitamins in whatever category. My husband and I have been taking them for 10 years now. I would never consider buying store brand. And then probably the other thing that's really key is the Renew lotion for eczema. Estelle loves it too.
I do all three of those and I love them.
Yeah. So Debbie, you can definitely showcase those and why that they're a better buy. So yes, I love that as a freebie. Anyone else? Estella, how about you? Do you have something you're doing for free?
Well, you know, I don't have it out yet, but I will do it. I have a will questionnaire that people can have access to. And I just had a really, I think, great thought about maybe doing a couple of, what do we say here, the 5-day thing, but I'm not going to do a 5-day. It might be a 3. Mm-hmm. And mine will be primarily focused on the will, because I think that's one of the most critical needs that people have. And I just absolutely love what Linda is doing. So somehow it will be tied in, and the next step is. But just looking at how life can be when you have a will and how life can be when you don't, how that impacts families. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would be something that I could do, and even get some testimonies from people to say, you know, they didn't have a will and this is what happened. We had a will and this is what happened. And then again, like I said, looking at, okay, what's the next step? You know, that's phase one. And where do we go from here?
So tell the audience, what is your overarching message in your products and services?
Primarily, we give people access to legal services that cost them a fraction of what it normally would cost. And they don't have to be subject to someone taking advantage of them. They can have an advocate. And then we also... identity theft is a huge problem today, and typically trying to coordinate that on your own is just something that would be very time consuming and daunting. And I hear horror stories of people who it takes 6, 7, 8 months, a year to get that resolved. And with us, you have a licensed private investigator, you sign a limited power of attorney, and they do all the work for you. I mean, you have to file police reports and things like that, but just to be able to, and it's not going to get any better. So right. Those two things, have being able to pick up the phone and talk to an attorney and know what your rights are, what you can do, what your options are, your responsibilities, having someone review something before you sign it so that later on you're not like, oh God, why didn't I look at that? Whether you're buying a car, a home, getting work done on your house, those are my key things.
Well, I love that, Estella. Your services are so needed. So thank you for that. Anyone else want to share? We've got some folks that are in the audience. We have Alonde, Amanda, and Sherry. Alicia, did you get to share?
I'm actually working on developing Unboxed, which is an organization for multi-creatives. And so I'm kind of in development of that. So
okay.
I did do an event, which just kind of, you know, when you said just launch. And it was just like, I'm just going to do it. Let me just do it. And just so I can get it out here and get the name out and, you know, and then I'll figure it out as I go.
So tell us, what is your overarching problem that you're solving?
Helping multi-creatives understand that you're wired like this. You're not wired for just one thing. When you hear somebody tell you, oh, just focus on one thing, and you can't, there's a reason for it. And we just have to help you organize and manage your gifts, your creativity. So that's it.
And again, you see how important that message is as well. Yes, I love it. Alicia, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Alonde, any comments from you about the call today? Or is there a business in there that you're putting together that you're wanting to launch? Again, some of us are multitasking today. Amanda, Sherry, anyone else? All right. I think we are good for today. Any final comments or aha moments? I know for me, every time I listen to Linda, I have to go back and add more to the list of things that I need to tidy up. Something will go, oh, I forgot to put that on the list. So every time I listen to her, I keep adding to my list of things to do. I appreciate everybody being here today. All of our businesses are important. I want to tell all of you that your audience is already out there. Your audience is already out there waiting for your message. They already need you. So don't let them down. put your thoughts together and launch, and then just tighten it up as you go. Yeah. Action comes first. Clarity comes second. And we're all at different stages in doing this. So don't feel like you're behind. The fact that you're just thinking about launching something is way ahead of folks that will never, ever launch. They just say, well, I used to think that I wanted to do this, but well, I'm too old now, or, you know, they've got a million and one reasons why they're never going to do it. So I just appreciate that all of you are here and that you are thinking in the realm that you are going to launch and you are going to do this and you are going to bring your message. So kudos to all of you. The replay will be in the Academy. If you just go to kathybinner.com, you can see my name there in my little Hollywood square, just kathybinner.com. And you can get to all of our replays. You do not have to pay anything to get to the replays. And you can listen to as many of the replays in any lane that you want. But if you want the entire Academy, then you can click on the button to do the entire Academy if you so choose to do that. And what we do at the other end is then we turn around and donate most of those funds back out to other organizations like you and help you get launched. So it's the whole circle. We come full circle with you. So thank you for being with us today. We're here every Monday at 12 noon with a different topic. It's the first Monday of every month that we're doing the Entrepreneurs and Solopreneurs. So join us. It's the same Zoom ID code every Monday at noon. So you're welcome to join us as often as you'd like. And we'll see everyone next time. Bye, everybody.